This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I started this campaign saying we're in the battle for the soul of the nation. I believe that even more deeply today, who we are.
We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth.
What we stand for.
And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you motherfuckers.
Maybe most importantly, who we are going to be. It's all at stake.
Move to Africa!
Character is on the ballot. The character of the country.
We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
We need to remember this is the United States of America. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Oh, I love that chick. I'm Dave Rubin, this is The Rubin Report. It is April 16th, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Share, subscribe, tap that notification bell if you haven't. Post-game show, rubinreport.locals.com. And I believe that girl who's gonna come to your house and murder you, I believe she is in jail at the moment. But when she gets out, I would like to invite her to this house and chat with her and see what, I've been overridden. That was a rare override, an immediate override by Connor. We cannot do that. Anyway, we put that little clip together for you. And I think it actually sums up the Biden campaign and the Democrat Party quite well. And that'll kind of lead us into everything we're doing today, because there are a couple sane people, as you know, but you know, sane people in an insane world often have trouble finding each other, figuring out how to fight the crazy people. And then of course, there's just an entire system designed to take out and cancel and crush every independent voice out there. So we're gonna start with some clips of Tulsi Gabbard, who was on my friend Bridget Fedezi's podcast. And Tulsi, of course, ex-Democrat, member of the military, proud American, waking up to some of the nonsense of the left. And it seems that perhaps she has a bright political future. On the other side, she's one of those sane people, and we all got to kind of find each other right now. So let's just dive right into it. Tulsi went on Bridget Fedezi's podcast, and she talked about that radicalness that now has just burst forth into the mainstream, that the progressives and the woke have been cooking, they've been stewing, they've been bleh for a long time.
Instead of celebrating women and accomplishments, the Biden administration backdoored a rule change through the Department of Education that added gender identity to Title IX, which as a consequence is resulting in more and more men and boys taking opportunities away from women and girls. And if that wasn't bad enough, the stick that they attached to it was telling schools that K through 12 specifically, unless you allow those who identify as trans to compete in the sport of their gender, I guess, that they are identifying with on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't follow this rule, we will remove your funding for what's called free and reduced lunch. And that's a term that's used in the government to identify kids who come from low-income families. Mm. Federal government says unless you allow biological boys to compete against girls on their team, we're going to take away your free and reduced lunch funding. So how sick is that?
It's literally crazy.
You're taking food out of the mouths of kids who are least able to, whose families are least able to afford it,
mm-hmm.
in order to force these schools to comply with this insane and destructive policy that actually hurts women and girls.
Okay, so the reason I'm showing you that clip is not to just dive into this trans thing where you guys all get how crazy it is and how they've abused Title IX to make it about putting boys in girls' sports when originally Title IX was set up so that girls would have their own spaces to play sports because boys and girls are different, as every four-year-old knows. The real reason I'm showing you that is to show you how they use the levers of power within the government basically to extort good people, right? To force good people to do bad things. So if you're a decent school administrator, you're a principal at a school, and you're like, boy, you know, I'm not so into having these boys who are pretending to be girls in essence beat the crap out of young girls, which would have been the old feminist position, they're gonna hold back federal funding as it pertains to feeding children. Like, think of what an absolutely insane abuse of political power that is, and just how profoundly evil it is, right? It's just, on its face, it's just evil. But the reason I was really showing you that clip was to get to this, which I think sums up today's show quite well. There are a lot of good people out there. I've really, over the last couple weeks, been trying to find them. I think I've sat down with a bunch of them. It is that wide swath of people in the middle who just don't see that we are represented anywhere, that are willing to agree to disagree. We're willing to talk about the most closely held things, like views on abortion, and still not hate everybody for it. And that's how most Americans are even today. We've been confused by algorithms and all sorts of manipulation and all of that stuff. But here's Tulsi talking about that if we could just realize how much power we have as people.
Because I know there are so many Americans across our country who really do love our America and are concerned about the direction our country is taking and want to be a part of the solution, but are understandably frustrated because they're not quite sure how. Or, you know, is it possible to break through these powerful forces? And you know, my answer to them was and is the power of the people is more powerful than all of their power and money and influence, which is why they're so afraid of us and a free society who think for ourselves, who can speak freely, and who can exercise our voices and our wishes and hopes through at the ballot box.
Not to say that feelings matter, although they do matter a little bit in contrast to that fact thing, but doesn't that feel right to you, what she just said there? And you know how I always talk about how when people are telling the truth, it's just easy, right? It's easy coming from them, and it's easy for you to receive it. And doesn't it feel that way when you listen to her? Most of us get this thing. Something ain't right. Even if you love Trump, you know something is deeply wrong here. Look what they're doing to Trump. I know most of you watching this don't love Biden, but most people know something ain't right with Biden and the Dems, right? So we're caught in this thing and we don't know exactly what to do with it. But people throughout thousands of years of recorded history have been through horrible times, have been through authoritarian regimes, have been through pogroms and genocides and all of these things, and humans make it out to the other side. The question always is how many people get killed in the way, how many societies get destroyed, how many good people lose everything, all of that stuff. And mostly it's because good people don't know what to do. There's always going to be a loud minority of crazy people, and now they're algorithmically charged, and there's going to be trolls, and there's going to be nihilists and all of those things. Of course, that's always going to exist, and that's why it's such a damn shame that our mainstream media has failed us, because if we had a decent mainstream media, it wouldn't be feeding the crazy people who are trying to burn things down now, I would say, on both sides. But we all know there is a whole bunch of us that don't want this thing, that it does not have to be this way. And that's why this is our moment to fight for it or not, right? Like, this genuinely is it. They always say this is the most important election of a lifetime. But every now and again, I suppose every 100 years or so, it's actually true. We'll get to the guy that they're trying to keep off the ballot still and all the ridiculous trials that they're putting a certain orange man through in just a moment. But let me talk to you guys about Gravity Defier shoes. Guys, let me share a recent discovery with you. G-Defy shoes. That's G-D-E-F-Y shoes. Let me tell you, they're simply amazing. No, they're beyond amazing. G-Defy is a footwear company on a mission to relieve knee, back, and foot pain. As many of you know, I've struggled with my knee from bowling all these years, although I did have a team-high 14 points in our game last night. But from the moment I slipped on my G-Defy shoes. The pain just vanished. How does G-Defy achieve this ultimate comfort? Firstly, every pair comes with free custom orthotics to align your body perfectly. Then there's their patented VersoShock trampoline technology in the heel, which absorbs harmful shocks and provides positive, renewed energy, empowering you to tackle your day. Additionally, G-Defy has integrated a strong structural system into their shoes that improves your posture and encourages you to walk using your calf and other major muscle groups. Don't just take my word for it. Read the countless customer reviews raving about the pain relief and amazing comfort they've experienced with G-Defy. I, for one, can't get enough of them, and I wholeheartedly recommend them to anyone looking for relief. Experience the comfort and pain relief for yourself. Visit gdefy.com today and use code Ruben30 for $30 off orders, $150 or more. And now back to me. All right, so yes, we see the craziness on the left. We see people like Bill Maher, like Tulsi Gabbard, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and many of you waking up and you're going, I can't be a Democrat anymore. Can I be a Republican? Who knows? And not that you have to be a Democrat or a Republican, but at some point the rubber meets the road, and if you're a functioning member of a society, you gotta vote, right? Well, there's this orange man that they are still trying to take out, and it continues with another trial now. We've got some info here from the Daily Wire. The first day of former President Donald Trump's New York hush money trial has concluded, with no jurors yet being selected to sit through the unprecedented criminal prosecution of a former U.S. president. At least 50 prospective jurors were dismissed by Judge Juan Merchan on Monday for admitting they would struggle to remain fair during the trial, with white women making up many of those who were dismissed, the New York Post reported. The trial, where the former president stands accused of falsifying business records to cover up an alleged affair with actress Stormy Daniels, began on Monday, marking the first proceedings in a criminal trial against the former U.S. president. The judge also scheduled a hearing for next Tuesday on a motion from the prosecution that calls on Merchan to sanction and fine Trump for allegedly violating a gag order that prevents the defendant from talking about witnesses. At the end of the day, Trump's team requested that the former president be excused from the trial next Thursday so he can hear arguments at the U.S. Supreme Court on his immunity claims stemming from his Washington, D.C. election interference case. Arguing before the Supreme Court is a big deal, and I can certainly appreciate why your client would want to be there, but a trial in New York Supreme Court is also a big deal, Merchan said. Okay, first off, I actually don't want to get into the details of this case and whether they violated the gag order and any of the minutia of it, because everyone knows that's not what this is about. I am not sitting here telling you that Donald Trump is the perfect man, that Donald Trump does all of the right things, that Donald Trump doesn't have fights with his lawyers or have his lawyers angry at him for talking about things he shouldn't talk about, and all of that stuff. That's all fine. That has nothing to do with what's really going on here, and we all know it. Even the people who hate Trump know it. If Donald Trump was not running for president, none of these cases would be going through. We all know that, and there are a whole bunch of them. And if they are able to stop him from running for president or get him off some of the ballots or throw him in jail or some combination thereof, even if you hate Trump, do you think that will be good for democracy? Do you think when we have Joe Biden again, and Joe Biden actually had his competitor taken off the chessboard, do you think that for the longevity of a healthy democracy will be a good recipe? Probably not, if you're an honest person. Anyway, here's Trump's response to what happened yesterday.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student, and he's very proud of the fact that he did so well, and was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there, and it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt.
Okay. Is that standard Trump? Like, there's not one that he read that criticized him? Of course. That's the way Trump speaks. It is what it is. But the underlying piece, and this is where Trump is usually right about stuff, the underlying piece is the end. It's a scam, right? It's a scam because they don't want him to run for president. It's a scam because more and more people have woken up to what Tulsi Gabbard has woken up to, the radicalness of the Democrat Party and the fact that they will punish people politically. They will punish children. In the case of that clip we just showed you, they will literally stop children from getting the food that they need if the schools do not do the gender nonsense that they want them to do. And Donald Trump seems to now be the only person at a national level that is willing to stand up against it, and they are throwing the kitchen sink at the guy. We'll show you some of the mainstream media response on that in just a second. First, let me talk to you guys about Armra. Guys, ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? After strengthening my immune system with Armra Colostrum, I'm now one of those people. When's the last time I took a sick day? It's been a while. The benefits are truly incredible, people. Colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life, and it's an exclusive source of all of the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. Armra Colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and make you sick. It strengthens immunity, ignites metabolism, fortifies gut health, promotes hair growth and skin radiance, empowers fitness, performance, and recovery. Armra Colostrum TM strengthens all four layers of your gut wall where 80% of your immune cells are housed. It's a rich, exclusive source of immunoglobulins, antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season. And their premium grass-fed bovine colostrum concentrate activates cellular health for your resilience and recovery. In clinical trials, bovine colostrum is found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for you guys. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/Dave or enter Dave to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/Dave. And now back to me. Okay, so trials are happening. They're doing everything they can to keep that orange man off the ballot. And then, of course, there is the mainstream media. Now, the job of the media used to be to analyze what's happening in the culture, in the political world, and then kind of give a mirror back to the people. So, you know, there's insider stuff happening in courtrooms, there's insider stuff happening at the Capitol, bills that not everyone's reading through. And we used to have, or at least I think we'd like to believe, that at one time we had a media that could give a sort of reflection back to us. Oh, you guys have lives, you have jobs and families and everything else. We can tell, we can sort of condense things down to you and tell you the truth about what's going on there. Well, we no longer have that, right? We have a highly partisan corporate media that wants clicks and ratings more than anything else. And unfortunately, they have so failed us that most people don't know what to believe anymore. Now we'll turn to the televised mental institution of MSNBC. And I should warn you guys that we have several clips from these clowns. Here is Rachel Maddow, who has gotten virtually every important story over the last decade wrong, but keeps her job and keeps lying about everything. And here she is just sort of editorializing nothingness out of what happened yesterday.
Get here. You know, the wheels of justice grind slowly. I did not think they would grind so slowly that they would rock the defendant apparently to sleep at the defense table today. I was not there. I do not know if he was asleep. It is possible he was, you know, meditating or just resting his eyes or something. I don't know. But like, those headlines, you know, on the front page of the New York Times, front page of the Washington Post, front page of the Huffington Post, front page of multiple news outlets today coming out of this, that Trump appeared to fall asleep on the first day of his trial, those are going to stick. I mean, I know it's not the most important legal thing, but we are in the middle of a campaign. And the, you know, the age issue is the main thing the Trump campaign wants to use against his opponent, the whole Sleepy Joe thing. I mean, this is, as you said, Ari, this is the most historic thing that Donald Trump has ever done. No former president ever has been a criminal defendant. And on day one, the headlines coming out of it are that he appeared to doze off. And to me, that's just, I mean, it's insane. It's also a reminder of however scary and somber and important this is. We're also dealing with somebody who is just fundamentally buffoonish. And this will be as much a reminder of that as it is of all the more serious things here that are at stake.
All right, so Rachel Maddow, who absolutely lied to her, well, let's say less than Mensa audience about the vaccines and about Russia collusion and Jesse Smollett and Brett Kavanaugh, all of this stuff. She lies about absolutely everything. That she's a paid propagandist. That's all that she is. As far as I understand it, there are no cameras. There's no video in the courtroom. Thus, there's no video of Donald Trump falling asleep. But oh my God, the Huffington Post reported it. And now we're going to repeat it on MSNBC. The fact that they sit there, the panel sits there and lies and laughs and listens to her say that. Have these guys seen any of the video of Joe Biden bumbling and fumbling and wandering through the grass, the lawn at the White House, and not knowing what he's saying and all of that? It's funny because they could do hours of shows on that every day. They somehow don't do that, but they do not like this orange man except that he gets them clicks and ratings, right? Here's MSNBC analyst Doug Brinkley with more high-level analysis of Donald Trump.
It is a day where we're seeing history in the making. How do you read it?
Well, I preferred the solar eclipse last week. Now we're in a really tawdry case. The fact that we're bringing up all the hush money payments and hearing porn star or what do we call it all over again. I think it matters, though. It's really pointing to, once again, that Donald Trump's character doesn't exist. That there's a bit of shamelessness. He's misogynistic. He attacks people's families. He knows no bounds, and he tries to behave in an authoritarian manner.
Thank you for that, genius. That it was so new and refreshing, those comments. Guys, most people know what Donald Trump is, who Donald Trump is, how he talks, the fact that he likes women. I know that that's not allowed for a dude to like women anymore, but he's into that old school, right? Connor, you're into that sort of thing too. Like there are some people that are into that. It's okay. But this, oh, he has no character. And it's like, how about Joe Biden? How about Joe Biden whose son is a crackhead? How about Joe Biden who is taking showers with his granddaughter who then wrote in her diary that she thought maybe she was molested by him? How about Joe Biden who sniffs the hair of all the young children? Like how's his character? But they can't really do that. But okay, that's just, that guy, David Brinkley. Here's a guy, I love this guy. Here's a guy who looks like half Fat Albert and half Albert Einstein.
There will be a circus because, as usual in this system, Trump is treated, as you explained, to a different standard than everybody else, right? If this was in any other person, Trump would be wheeled into the courthouse on the Hannibal Lecter gurney, all right? Because he can't keep his mouth shut.
Hannibal Lecter. Great movie, by the way, Silence of the Lambs. I think it might be the scariest movie of all time. And one of, I mean, it's just a phenomenal movie if you haven't seen it. Hannibal Lecter was a cannibal. That's why he was, led out there when he met the senator whose daughter was kidnapped and everything. I don't think anyone's accusing Donald Trump of trying to eat people. Is that a thing now? Maybe that is a thing. But on one hand, he's saying there's a two-tiered system of justice. And then I know he's being sort of cheeky, but it's like, there's a two-tiered series of justice, system of justice. Donald Trump can get away all this. And then we should have him locked up and his face should be sucked in and blah, blah, blah. Phoenix is asking me, this is a little test they're running on me right now, how old is this Eli Mizell character, this Fat Albert, Albert Einstein guy? Can we throw up some B-roll of him again? Can I just look at him again while we're doing this? Let's see if we can just pull that video up for just a second. So I can try to do this. The hair would imply he's very
there
old with the
circus.
White hair. The hair implies old, so that, well, no. But his face, he looks, I don't know, the guy, I'm going to say 42. 45 years old with that hair. I guess when it's all the truth, there's no truth left. And truth is the hair coloring dye of something. Anyway, if you think that guy wasn't a great analysis analyst on MSNBC, they brought in John Legend, singer John Legend. I don't know why he is talking about Trump and the judiciary, but that's what's going on over at the Clown Show. Enjoy.
Well, he is a part of a two-tier system of justice, but not in the way that he thinks he is. Mm-hmm. He is getting way more concessions than the average criminal defendant would get. He's getting delays. He's got access to all kinds of lawyers that are filing this and filing that, delaying every trial. And most people don't have access to that kind of lawyering, don't have access to the kind of concessions that the justice system will provide to you if you can afford it.
If you can afford it. You can catch the rest of my conversation with John Legend this Sunday at noon.
This is political analysis on MSNBC. First off, the fact that he has lawyers and they're able to file things is because we have a legal system and that's how it works. We don't just throw people in jail because people said they did bad things. My God, his lawyers are filing paperwork. We better do. Someone could get a paper cut, for God's sakes. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And of course, the broad point, the meta point on all this is not whether Donald Trump is being treated great. If you're looking at everything happening right now and you're like, that Donald Trump sure is getting away with an awful lot. No, the broader point is that the only reason this is happening to him is because he's running for president of the United States. They don't like him very much, even though they do kind of like him because he gets some clicks and views. And it's a match made in hell. But let's connect this to the more or the broader sort of political thing happening in the country right now. If you haven't heard, about 7 million people, illegal immigrants, have come into this country in the last 3 years. I think it's fair to say that the Democrats are trying to destroy America. I don't know how to explain it in any other way. If you just let anyone come in, Game of Thrones. They wanted to build a wall. They were the good guys. But in real life, if you build a wall, apparently you're a bad guy. They're letting all these people in, and they also want them to vote. That is becoming increasingly clear because they don't want people to have IDs to vote. So House Speaker Mike Johnson has introduced legislation at a press conference in the last day or so requiring people that are registering to vote to prove they are a U.S. citizen. This is like the most base level, lowest common denominator shit that you could come up with. Here he is explaining the legislation with a certain orange man behind him, which kind of makes you think that that's what the real problem is. That's really why they're going after him, because he's starting to get influence there again, you think?
And so what we're going to do is introduce legislation to require that every single person who registers to vote in a federal election must prove that they're an American citizen first. They have to prove it. That will be a new part of the federal law and a very important one. Our bill will establish new safeguards. It'll put us on par, by the way, with virtually every other democracy around the world that also prohibits non-citizen voting. And this is a critical thing for us to do at a very critical time. Our bill also will require states to remove non-citizens from their existing voter rolls. That's a big problem, too. And it will provide access to databases from the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration to help the states administer this.
So nothing he is saying there is brain surgery. It's all obvious. We know it. Everyone in their heart of hearts knows that you should have an ID to vote. Who are you? Are you supposed to be able to vote in this election? Do you live in this district or in this state or in this country? Like, this is basic stuff. As he said, this just puts us in line with virtually every civilized nation in the world that actually offers this. Now, obviously, states in the United States have stricter or less strict laws as it pertains to voting. So in Florida, I had to show an ID and it was quite refreshing, as opposed to California, where I could have walked in and all they asked was my name and my address. So I could have just as easily said, yes, I am my neighbor. I knew my neighbor's name and address, and I could have said I was my neighbor, and then I could have gone to another polling place and said I was someone else. So you would only not be for IDs when it pertains to voting, if you are trying to rig the system. Also, if you've let in 7 million people and then you're encouraging all them to figure out ways to vote, it's just all so freaking obvious. So now let's go back to MSNBC, because here's their cracked analysis on something that we all know is the right thing.
Now, according to, after, you know, Donald Trump and his insurrection buddy, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, after they had their meeting, now apparently House Republicans are going to pursue legislation requiring proof of citizenship to vote. My question is, so we're going to show proof to Miss Susie at the polling place? How is Miss Susie going to verify? Are we asking people to bring their papers? This is America. So I just want to know, is this what all of the House Republicans want to lay their chips on? Even the 18 that sit in districts that Joe Biden won in 2020?
What strikes me is this is the long tail of a long time Republican effort to make it harder to vote, because they know that some of those requirements, you know, having to show a license, they disproportionately impact communities of color. And they what's interesting to me is they also disproportionately impact older Americans.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes,
so
yes.
And that's the part that you would think that Republicans would be more attuned to strategically.
But I think the bigger, broader, scarier point, Alicia, is this is all to breed distrust in our elections
yes.
process.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's so pathetic. All right, so that guy speaking there at the end was pet Republican Joe Walsh. He used to be a Republican congressman and failed at that. And then, of course, you get a job on MSNBC and then you just try to go after Republicans. Okay. Black people know how to get IDs just as well as white people do. This is a complete canard. It's made up. It's nonsense. Black people get on planes. Have you ever seen a black guy on a plane? Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson. He was there with the snakes. You all saw it. Okay, people do. I once saw Samuel L. Jackson on a plane, actually. Sit first class. Yeah, pretty good. He's living a good life back. First, black people are in first class. That's the point. This is all just complete nonsense. So he's a pet Republican. And then the other guy there is Michael Steele, who used to be the head of the Republican National Committee. I've interviewed him a couple of times, and now he's become just a pet Republican. Yes, black people can't get IDs. If anyone can find a black guy, black person that doesn't have an ID, I will pay for the ID. I'll do it for 10 people. Find 10 black people without IDs. I don't know what form of payment that has to be done. I don't know. Have they opened up a Zelle? Can I send them money? Like, how do we do this? That is the move. Black people don't know how to get IDs. We saw this video from Atlanta yesterday because in Atlanta, the IRS wants to give people their refunds, the check refund for taxes. And a whole bunch of black people showed up with IDs to get the refund because you need an ID to get the refund from the IRS. Look at these magical black people.
This is the line. Of course, it's going to be some foolishness. This is the line for everybody that need to verify their taxes. And then it goes, it's around the corner. If you can see over there, it's around the corner. They trying to tell people to go home. They finna have some problems. These people been standing in line, they cussing, they fussing. They got that poor security over there trying to handle this crowd. I don't know, this don't look like it's gonna turn out good. It don't look good at all. It don't look good at all. These people, they is finna try to tell these people that been standing here. I'm finna walk around the corner so I can show y'all. They finna try to tell these people that been standing here since 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. They finna try to tell these people that they gotta go home. So it's finna be some
I like that girl. Can we get her to be a correspondent on the show? The point of that is the IRS is now giving money back to the people, right? Because if you pay too much in taxes, you get the refund and they hand you a check. But you can't just show up there and be like, well, look, I'm black. I don't have an ID. Where's my money? You can do that in New York City if you're an illegal immigrant, by the way. You don't have to show ID and they'll give you one of those cards. It's absolutely bananas. But you guys all get this. These people are just trying to destroy absolutely everything. And when I talk about that swath of people in the middle, the Tulsi Gabbards, the Bill Maher's, the Joe Rogan's, all these people, forget where they're going to end up voting for a moment. It's just that all of us are here and we're trying to make sense of this thing and we got to just find each other and build those bonds. One of those people, perhaps the most important one in America right now, of course, is Elon Musk, because he is not only saving free speech on X, but he's also talking about all of these things, right? He's a former Democrat, a guy who said that he only voted for Democrats his entire life until an election about a year or two when he moved to Austin and then voted for somebody out of border town who was actually a Republican. But here he is. I think we showed you this clip a couple of weeks ago, just flat out explaining what the Democrats are doing with all of this voter ID nonsense or lack thereof and everything going on at the border on the, I'm not even going to say the guy. Well, where's the clown that I can punch? It's the Don Lemon show. And I said we weren't going to talk about Lemon, but I don't even think he's in this clip. Enjoy.
If illegal immigrants, which I think have a very strong bias to, at least everything I've read, it's a very strong bias to vote Democrat. The more that come into the country, the more they're likely to vote in that direction. But it is, in my view, a simple incentive to increase voters, to Democrat voters. So the question is like how. So there's a few ways that this works. One is that when the census is done, the census is based on all people in an area, whether they are certain citizens or not. So if there are a concentration of people who came here illegally in a particular state that state will actually then get an increased number of House seats. So the House seat apportionment is proportionate to the number of people, not the number of citizens. So the illegals overwhelmingly go to places like California, New York, and the if you just look at the math, if you look at the apportionment with and without illegals, I believe California would lose. I believe the blue state, there would be a net loss of blue states of approximately 20 seats in the House. This also applies to the Electoral College. So you say, like, well, this also applies to electing the president, because the electoral votes are also done by apportionment the same way that House seats are done.
And here he is, everybody, Don Lemon in studio. I'm not going to punch him because we don't believe in political violence here at the Rubin Report, but I am told that if I squeeze his nose, there's going to be a sound. That's pretty good. The kids love this thing. All right, there we go. Don Lemon. I don't think I have to analyze the clip for you anymore. Once again, this is Elon Musk just laying out basic truths. He's explaining why they're bringing in the illegals. He's explaining how it relates to the census and how they get more congressional seats and how they'll figure it out when it comes to voting federally for the president and everything else. And we all know it. And again, it's that calm way that he can explain something. And you could see Don Lemon, who's still sucking up to the system. He's not very happy about it. And speaking of not very happy about it, here's a guy who looks like a villain from Arkham Asylum in the Batman movies over at MSNBC.
If you run a family restaurant, you need more workers. If you run a hardware store on Main Street, you need more workers. If you're an entrepreneur, you need more workers. You need immigrants. We are fueled. Our economy is fueled by immigrants up and down the employment chain.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for Democrats, there's often this situation when Republicans are fanning fear around immigration, fanning fear around crime. Democrats are sometimes torn between an approach of providing a real alternative to that fear-mongering, or trying to, like, copy half of it in the urge to kind of not lose moderates and empathize with the fear but be different. And sometimes what happens is Democrats on this issue sound to the right of Ronald Reagan in his farewell speech, right? And I think that's a mistake. It's really important to be able to talk about a border, be able to make people not feel afraid about chaos and ungovernability, but every time you talk about this, to channel what Ronald Reagan said in that farewell address, which is that this is also what has made America an extraordinary country.
Just the incredible framing of what they do with everything. What Scarborough is doing there, illegals, or we need immigrants, we need immigrants. He doesn't say illegals. No one is debating whether America has been largely a country of immigrants, legal immigrants. That's how most of us, almost all of us, got here. Our ancestors got here and then made a better life for themselves and from where they came from and for their children and grandchildren. That's the beautiful story of America, a country that they're not too proud of. So but they're framing it as if you're a Republican and you're for a border and you're for an ID, basic stuff that would just line us up with most of the other civilized nations in the world, that somehow you're racist or you're the bad guy. And it's about illegals. And then that guy from Arkham Asylum, I mean, Jesus Christ, who put him on television? Anyway, I should note that Chuck Scarborough, it's Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough, I would love to know how many illegal immigrants, he keeps saying we need them for jobs and everything, how many illegal immigrants work in MSNBC? Do you have to show an ID when you walk into the building over there at 30 Rock? I've been to 30 Rock many times. You do have to show an ID. They've got an awful lot of security at 30 Rock. They don't just let you wander in there. And I'm guessing you've got zero illegal immigrants working there, Joe. So we see you, man. We see what you're doing. But how about seeing this? This is a video over the weekend from Carlsbad, California. Here's a group of what appear to be wonderful, America-loving, potential Democrat voters entering the country illegally via boat and, just watch this. I think I'm going to talk. Am I going to talk through some of this? Yeah, look at this. Look at this. So the boat just speeding up, coming to the beach. Look at these suckers just fishing and wandering around trying to pick up shells. And look at these guys. All guys, they look pretty fit. Look at this. Is a full-on invasion. They look like, that looks like a military just entering a country. Where are these people going? They seem to know where they're going, and look at the people just standing there. They don't know what to do. Who are these people? What are their intentions? We've shown you other videos like this. Where are these people right now? Is there a manhunt for these people? I assume, Joe Scarborough, you're gonna hire a couple of these guys, right? But they destroy absolutely everything because they lie about everything. And speaking of destroying absolutely everything, the pro-Hamas rallies that we've seen all over the, well, this country and the world since October 7th, and they are pro-Hamas rallies. They are not pro-Palestine rallies. You show me one person there who says a bad word about Hamas, and then I will maybe be willing to reevaluate that. They are pro-Hamas rallies. They really went on steroids over the last couple of days because, you know, Iran launched this crazy attack, about 500 suicide drones and missiles on Israel. They blew about 99% of them out of the air, so it didn't start World War III, which is good. But the pro-Hamas people are not happy, and they are all over the United States right now blocking bridges, roads, and the rest of it. Here they are blocking the Golden Gate Bridge yesterday. This is illegal. This is not how a functioning society can work. What are the police doing? The police are standing right there. So basically, the police are aiding and abetting these people from stopping commerce, people from being able to do whatever they have to do on any given day. They're stopping ambulances, and no one knows what to do. When you talk about that good middle that I'm always talking about, these people on that bridge here. Here's the guy that's doing a little audio on this while he's standing on the bridge.
I peed a few minutes ago. Cops are backed up all the way across the bridge now.
Go ahead and get back in your car. We're going to open it up very soon.
Get back to your cars. We're going to open it up very soon after 4 hours. So for 4 hours. Look at these people.
You understand? You think I care? You're in the wrong. Please calm down. You're being.
Okay, so what you're seeing at the end there is that that's just a decent guy. He woke up that morning, had to go about whatever his business was, just like any of the rest of us. And they are pushing good people to be angry. They are pushing good people. Eventually, good people are going to start doing some bad things, right? But the police, the Democrats are in on this. This is San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge. This is a Democrat-run place. Why are they allowing this? Well, they're also allowing it in Seattle. Here they are blocking the road to Seattle's airport. So they're shutting down an airport. We showed you a video yesterday. They shut down the Chicago airport. So people miss their flights. People could miss birthday parties, grandma's funeral, who knows? But again, the police are just there. They're not arresting people. They let it go on for a couple hours and, oh, then we'll open them up. These people should all be in jail. Any of them that can be should be deported. And again, you're taking, keep at it. Keep at it, because you're not bringing more people to your side. You're exposing what psychotic I would say anti-American lunatics you are. Tom Cotton had a tweet on this, Senator Tom Cotton, and I think this is interesting, and it might open the floodgates on what people are going to do about this stuff. He wrote, I encourage people who get stuck behind the pro-Hamas mobs blocking traffic, take matters into your own hands to get them out of the way. It's time to put an end to this nonsense. It's an interesting position for a senator to take, because take matters into your own hands could probably be read several different ways. It's like, I don't think you can just, as a citizen, just shoot somebody in the street. You probably can't do that. That's illegal. But can you push them out of the way? Are they allowed to do this? And if this is where we're at in America right now. If law enforcement will not enforce the law, then you are leaving it to good people to do. And then good people, it's going to start getting real messy. So I think that's what the Democrats want. They want to flood the borders. They want to have lawlessness everywhere. And then they will point to that chaos and say, see, none of it works. Give us more power. We will fix things. Well, guys, I'm happy to report that there is one place where things still work, because some of these pro-Hamas people tried to close some roads in Florida. And no, we ain't having any of that bullshit. So for those of you listening to the audio podcast, there are Florida police officers dragging them out of the middle of the street and lining them up. Now, I hope most of them went to jail. Again, I think you deport as necessary or as your ability and what is legally available to you. But these people are trying to destroy every fabric of America. We cannot function like this. If on any given day you're trying to go on a vacation with your family and a bunch of terrorist supporting leftist wackadoodles just decide you're not allowed to do that because you can't get to the airport. So again, wide swath of the middle, you're gonna have to make a decision. And that's what Tom Cotton is saying. I don't think he's endorsing violence, but when he's saying you gotta do what you gotta do, otherwise they will just keep encroaching. If law enforcement won't do anything, these people will just keep encroaching and they'll keep encroaching and they'll keep encroaching. And then, by the way, one day they'll be inside your house because these are the same people who believe in something called squatter's rights, which means that they can just enter your house and take your house. There's no such thing as squatter's rights. You can't just walk into my house and take over my house. I've got guns. And in Florida, the police officers will tell you to use them. It's pretty beautiful. So there is no defense of their absolute endless lunacy, right? There is no defense of it, but the system now has to run cover for Biden and the Democrats because the average person sees what's going on at the border. The average person sees what's going on at the ballot box. The average person sees what's going on with blocking bridges and everything else. So now they have to run cover for that old man with dementia. Here's Corinne Jean-Pierre. She can't answer if old Joe Biden is gonna debate Donald Trump.
In 2020, do you think that the American electorate was helped by seeing Donald Trump and Joe Biden on the same stage at the same time?
Now I know where this is going.
At a presidential debate. Was that helpful, do you think, in terms of people making that decision?
You know, that's a question for the American people. I can't speak to that from here. I can't. Yeah. And 2020 was a different time. It was a different time.
And looking ahead to this upcoming election cycle, do you think it would be helpful to see these two candidates who are in a rematch?
So slick. So slick.
Also competing against each other at a presidential
debate. As the president would say, you can't kid a kidder. What I will say is that is a question for the campaign. They will gladly take that question.
Awful, smug diversity hire. Look, it is very obvious. They are not going to have debates. Why, if you were the Democrats, would you put Biden up there? So he could break down, not know how to finish the sentence, totally freeze up, ramble completely incoherently. Like, there's just no reason to do it. By the way, I think you can put some of that blame on the doorstep of Donald Trump, because by Donald Trump not debating his Republican rivals, you opened up the window for this. So Donald Trump did it, and it worked, right? So he did it at a tactical level, right? Like, basically it was he didn't want to debate DeSantis. And he said, well, I'm up by so much, I don't have to do it. And it worked because he became the nominee. But he set the precedent that you don't have to debate. So now Biden will just be like, well, you know, he's on trial and he's an insurrectionist and all those white supremacists, and we're just not going to debate. I'm not going to degrade myself to the point where I have to debate that crazy Nazi Donald Trump. So that's where we're at, which is a damn shame, because if there was ever a time to have an open, honest debate in America, I think this might just be it. Of course, another reason that the Democrats don't want to debate is at these debates, if they were to do these debates honestly, the woke stuff and the far lefties get absolutely pummeled. So I want to end the show sort of where I started the show, with the video of Tulsi Gabbard. So you may remember this. Tulsi, in 2019, when she was still running for president, and as you know, she was the last Democrat, she did not cut a deal with Biden like Gay Pete did and Elizabeth Warren and the rest of them to get in the administration or get some future kickbacks or whatever it is. She stayed in the entire time. Her best moment, I believe this was either the first or second Democrat primary debate, was when she absolutely demolished Kamala Harris. And then, of course, Joe Biden later chose Kamala Harris to be VP because nothing makes sense in these modern times.
Congresswoman Gabbard, you took issue with Senator Harris confronting Vice President Biden at the last debate. You called it a, quote, false accusation that Joe Biden is a racist. What's your response?
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting Black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Harris, your response.
As the elected Attorney General of California, I did the work of significantly reforming the criminal justice system of a state of 40 million people, which became a national model for the work that needs to be done. And I am proud of that work. And I am proud of making a decision to not just give fancy speeches or be in a legislative body and give speeches on the floor, but actually doing the work of being in the position to use the power that I had to reform a system that is badly in need of reform. That is why we created initiatives that were about reentering former offenders and getting them counseling. It is why, and because I know that criminal justice system is so broken, that I am an advocate for what we need to do to not only decriminalize, but legalize marijuana in the United States.
I want to bring Congresswoman Gabbard back in. You're responsible.
The bottom line is, Senator Harris, when you were in a position to make a difference and an impact in these people's lives, you did not. And worse yet, in the case of those who were on death row, innocent people, you actually blocked evidence from being revealed that would have freed them until you were forced to do so. There is no excuse for that. And the people who suffered under your reign as prosecutor, you owe them an apology.
Senator Harris.
You didn't go full cackle there. The reason I wanted to show you that, again, it's Tulsi just laying out some basic truths. I mean, the thing about the weed is the most interesting one, that she sent 1,500 people to jail for smoking weed, and then when she was asked whether she smokes weed, she just laughed it off, right? So two-tiered system of justice, as we've been talking about on this show, yeah, perhaps there is. But Tulsi, no longer a Democrat, and what was the most interesting part of that clip is the question that was originally asked by Jake Tapper was about Tulsi, who was defending Joe Biden from being called a racist by Kamala Harris. So politics makes strange bedfellows. Anyway, we're going to have Tulsi in studio, I think, in a week or so, and we will talk about all of this stuff because I think she is on that short list for Donald Trump if you want those crossover people and if you want to speak to that middle of the country that is trying to make sense of some of this stuff. So we end with Tulsi back on Bridget Fetticy's podcast talking about what it would take for Trump to succeed this time around.
His team is you have to be in a position where you are surrounding yourselves with other people of courage who aren't just thinking about their next political job or their next job, getting a cable news contract or looking for fame themselves or looking at how they can monetize their position for their whatever their next financial interest might be, but people of courage who know what they're up against to really seriously clean house across the federal government and the corruption and rot that is so deeply entrenched in order to truly be effective. And if he is reelected, that is my hope, that he sees that he's learned from what went wrong in 2016, that, you know, he went in, you know, with a largely non-interventionist, more focused on peace agenda. And yet he surrounded himself with people who are at the heart of the warmongers in Washington and who directly went against the policies that he advocated for.
My bad, quick correction there. That was the Lex Fridman podcast, not the Bridget Fetticy podcast. But the point stands in terms of what she said, right? If Trump learned and then he can get people from that wide middle, imagine if he could get an Elon Musk to be part of an administration and help him staff. Imagine if he could get a Tulsi Gabbard to be VP. Imagine if he could start showing people, I'm not going to do all of the stuff I used to do and turn on everybody. Like if he could reform himself a bit, not bring in all the old people, right? And that was one of my main concerns, right? When I was supporting DeSantis in the primary, what did I keep saying? One of my main concerns about Trump was because he's turned on so many of his people, right? And I don't have to go through the list, that who are you gonna get to work for you? So there's an interesting moment here for you, Donald Trump. If you can signal to people that maybe you've learned a little bit about what the swamp is, which I actually do believe that part, he didn't realize what he was getting himself into. If he's done that, and then he can start opening things up for the good people like the Tulsis to come in on this thing, then there's a chance we can turn this thing around, at least at the political level. We still have a whole bunch to do sort of culturally and spiritually and everything else, but then there really is a chance. Speaking of a chance, one of the most enjoyable interviews I've done in years was a couple days in studio with former ESPN anchor Sage Steele, who like just is, she's just absolutely wonderful. She fought vaccines when they were mandating them through ESPN. She fought all of the woke stuff over there. She's gone independent now. She's just, it was the second I met her in here, it was like meeting a lifelong friend. The second we made eye contact, it was like, I've known you my entire life. Part one of that interview is up right now. Full thing's already up. Ad-free at locals.com, at rubinreport.locals.com. People of the Internet is live at 1 p.m. And we leave you with, what did we do? We leave you with Corinne Jean-Pierre, now divorced lesbian. I did not know that.
Happy tax day. I did take care of my taxes. I don't have a wife to take care of my taxes.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.